My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
That was a shooting gallery up there.
I could hear the tremble in his voice.
She suffered a fairly severe beating. The video is pretty graphic.
Justice for us seems almost impossible.
It's not fun to watch somebody die, and they knew she was in mortal peril.
They have not asked the hard questions. Why was the Capitol intentionally unsecure that day?
The FBI had information about security concerns before January 6th.
They're out for blood, and they're getting it. They appear to be winning.
Were the actions of the Capitol Police out of line? Were there violations in use of force?
Now I describe it as an inside job.
I'm ready to do whatever God calls me.
There's an old Chinese saying my ancestors learned before the Communist Party took over our country. The family is the essential unit of human society, and that you must have honor and defend your family. But it's not always easy to do.
When the regime gives the order, you have to kill.
My heart was pounding. I felt my body bouncing and twisting on the floor. They put numbers on our shoulders, then separated us into rows of even and odd numbers. I was number 9. My brother, he is still in prison. And my sister, she was sent to a labor camp without a trial. But there's one piece of evidence they haven't been able to destroy yet. I left everything behind. If I can't expose what they did to us, then all of our suffering would be for nothing.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. I am very pleased this morning. I want you to know in about a half an hour, we will be going live to India. We'll be doing our outreach service there in India, and you'll be able to join us here for the entirety of that service right here on our broadcast. But right now, I'm very, very pleased to welcome my guest to the program. She has been here on the program before with us, and it's just a delight to be able to get her back on again. I want to welcome Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld. Dr. Rachel, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a good day.
Yes, ma'am. Yes. Well, now, of course, we want to talk about what's happening in Israel. We want to talk about what we were talking about in the green room. One piece of, I guess, some hopeful news. Yesterday, the IDF did take control of Gaza City.
Of northern Gaza, the northern part of the city.
So, and they were, I actually saw I think I sent you that video of them broadcasting an Israeli victory song over the, the mosque, which had a pretty powerful...
It's a prayer.
Unit.
It's a very important, very... every Jew, even secular Jews, know this prayer. This prayer has been said many times, especially when Jews have been murdered. So that's what they say before they are being killed, and that's what they say when they praise the Lord. So it was wonderful to see. However, they are still shooting rockets over the southern part of Israel, and they are attacking with Hezbollah from Lebanon. It was lovely to see that the soldiers were singing Hatikva, our national hymn, on Gaza Beach. That was wonderful. But I have to tell you, I was in Gaza before Hamas took over, and you could be in Gaza. You could buy a falafel in Gaza. You could buy fish, fresh fish, which was just brought in by fishermen from the shore, from the Mediterranean. By Gazan fishermen, they would make it for you there on the spot, and it was very wonderful, and the relation was good until apparently we didn't pay enough attention to the spread of radicalism, if you want, and the hate that was percolating. And so this was like in 2003.
Right.
Later on it became bad, and Hamas was elected by the majority of the Gazan people. And so Israel left Gaza in 2005. That apparently, the way they left, was a mistake. And unfortunately, many people, many Israelis have died because of the barbaric... I think we need to adopt a special name, a special identification or characterization of these monsters, because no human being, nobody who has any minimum humanity in them could commit something like that. Like the monstrosities they committed, baking babies in the ovens, tearing out babies from mothers' wombs, and then killing the mother, and burning the infant. And I mean, they have done things that has never been documented to anywhere else in the world. So this has been really. They should be completely annihilated. Absolutely.
Is it also not important to note that since 2005, when they took over, that they have had aggressions towards Israel, that their charter...
They started intifadas, and this was still with when Yasser Arafat was alive, against Israel. That was also from the West Bank, but they started intifadas, several of them. They called for jihad. They have been calling for jihad all along. They have attacked Israel with rockets many, many times. There were several wars. And mind you, that even then, the left, whether it was the Obama administration, they called for ceasefire because they claimed that Israel's response for shooting rockets on cities and towns in Israel and killing citizens and destroying property, that Israel's response to Hamas was unproportionate. I mean, they wanted more proportion. I don't know what they wanted. They wanted to choose the very same building that Gaza bombed in Tel Aviv and blow it up in Gaza. Did they want the same number of Israelis that were killed to kill citizens of Gaza? I mean, the whole thing is ridiculous. And this is not in calling all the time for Israel to comply with the laws of war. Well, this is actually, according to international law, this is not a war. This is a terrorist organization. They don't play by any rules. Okay, by any rules. They violate every rule on the planet, every human rule, everything. Why should their response be, I mean, what kind of laws Israel has to comply with in order to destroy these people, to destroy this monstrosity from the face of the earth? And moreover, we get more and more information about the tremendous wealth that the leaders of Hamas, who are, and they are wonderful, there is wonderful footage of the leaders of Hamas exercising in an exercise room in a seven-star hotel in Doha, where they live, eating very, very elaborate dinners with their friends, having a good time with their wives and children, while they send the people in Gaza to fight. So they use the people of Gaza as cannon fodders, if you want, or
I spoke with
as
Rabbi
suicide Pesach bombers Lee. in order to win political scores with the Islamic world.
You know, I don't know if you're familiar with Rabbi Pesach Waliki.
No.
But he actually did an interview on Israel 365 Action News, Victory News. Mm-hmm. And I think it's worthwhile just to, I'd like to just play this really quick for you and get your thoughts on it, because he talks about the proportion. And I think he has some really great insight. Let's give this a listen.
Earlier today, he's the director of Israel 365 Action. I asked him about a new commentary he shared today on the biggest false narratives being used against Israel in their response to the Hamas terrorist attack on October the 7th.
According to international law, proportional response means that your response is proportional to your military objective. For example, if there's a launching pad in an apartment building that is launching rockets into Israel, and that's a military target that has to be taken out, and for the military objective of defeating Hamas and making sure that they're no longer firing rockets at Israel, we need to take it out. According to the Geneva Conventions, any civilian casualties that result from striking that military target are unfortunate and tragic, but they are not disproportionate. If, on the other hand, there's wanton killing of civilians that don't help the military objective, that would be considered disproportionate. So you ask about the electricity and the water, and there's been a whole back and forth because of American pressure on Israel about cutting off the water and electricity. And there are so many people, you look online and in media, who are saying, how could Israel cut off water and electricity to Gaza? Let's understand. There are tunnels underground. Many of your viewers are aware of these Hamas terror tunnels. Hamas built, over the last few decades, they spent the billions of dollars they got from international aid on building a network, 300-mile network of terror tunnels under the 24-mile Gaza Strip, a whole underground city. And these tunnels aren't little tunnels that are near the surface of the ground. They're way below ground, like subway tunnels. They are air-conditioned, they have electricity, and they are used as a network of headquarters and operations for Hamas. They are bunkers, and they are munitions storage facilities. And currently, the estimate is that there are 40,000 Hamas terrorists who are living in the terror tunnels. In order for Israel to defeat Hamas, we need those terrorists to have to come up for air. Because going down into the tunnels while they're in the tunnels will cause a tremendous amount of deaths, and it'll be very difficult to defeat them from the Israeli side tactically. So Israel needs to force those terrorists to emerge from the tunnels. The only way to do that is to cut off the electricity and cut off the water from the Gaza Strip so that those tunnels don't have any electricity, don't have their ventilation systems, they're hundreds of feet underground, and forcing those terrorists to come up to the surface, and then Israel can defeat them.
As we sit here today, you have sons that are in the war, and you're here talking to us. Mm-hmm. You have sons in the war. How do we pray for them?
You know, when Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son Isaac, at the end of that scene in Genesis 22, the angel comes down and promises Abraham three things. He promises him that his children will be as many as the stars in the sky. He promises him that all the nations of the world will be blessed through him. And he promises him that he will have victory over his enemies. The first two of those, they're really one and three in that list, Abraham's been told already in the book of Genesis. But Abraham's never been told that he'll have victory over his enemies. And the message of the binding of Isaac is that in order to have victory over our enemies, we have to be willing to put up our kids. That's a very heavy thought. And I've been thinking about that every single day. When my kids, for the few minutes that they're allowed to message home or call home and say that they're okay, when my son called me the other day and said his phone was getting turned off because he's heading into Gaza, these are things that we're living with in Israel. And the way to pray for them is to pray for victory.
Yeah.
So let's pray for the Jewish nation again.
This scene, he's absolutely right. He's eloquent. And he really conveys the spirit that now embraces, I think, almost everybody, including the radical left in Israel. They don't have any choice. They are Jews. They will be hunted and killed by their enemies unless they protect themselves and protect their own country. Yeah. And so now you have Mr. Burns in Qatar negotiating with the Qatari radical Islamic terrorist regime that funds Hamas and others like them, negotiating for the release of the hostages. Well, no, Hamas wants to release, I don't know, two, three hostages when they feel like it, and get ceasefire. No, this cannot go on like that. And it has to be, and I think that Israel would have probably already destroyed, would have destroyed Hamas, the whole Gaza City, if the Americans were not pressuring them.
It's really stunning to me to watch how America's responding to this. And the more information that comes out, the more... that is known. I saw something on Twitter just yesterday that there were reporters from CNN Associated Press and so on that were traveling with the terrorists
on the day that they attacked.
Yes.
Okay. So if you wanted more evidence that this has been orchestrated. And I mean, if they are capable, I mean, CNN and other news agencies that send their reporters there should be brought to court, should be indicted for support of terrorism.
And I know that there's been a lot of people that have said, well, okay, but, you know, look, everyone's questioning how could this have happened? How could they have gotten away with this and so on? Read my blog. I've addressed some of these questions. We know there was a massive cyber attack. DDoS has come out and said on that day there was a mass cyber attack. We know that Robert Malley, Ariana Tabatabai, and Mahir Batar have
Iran agents.
Yeah, direct connections to Tehran and access to sensitive defense information regarding the cyber defenses in Israel.
Here in the Pentagon and Homeland Security and White House,
And so, you know, just let's go back and I'm proud to say the reason that I am banned on Twitter now, I'm out there under my pseudonames, but the reason I am directly banned on Twitter is because I called Eric Swalwell a Chinese spy whore. Okay, he is. He absolutely is. And after I was banned,
he's not the only one.
No. Well, and Reuters came out after I was banned with a report that said that China, the CCP, was using an NSA spy program to spy on us. How does China get an NSA spy program? Oh, I don't know. Maybe because of the Chinese spy whore. Look, folks, the Obama and Biden should be put on trial as traitors and charges of treason, along with Hillary Clinton, quite frankly.
Well, the serious problems with the Palestinians started because in 1993, Clinton, of course, he got, you remember the infamous handshake on September 13, 1993, on the lawn of the White House with the peace, whatever, with the Palestinians, the infamous handshake. The idea of actually, at the time, before this happened, Yasser Arafat was in exile in Tunisia. They were scattered all over. There was really not a very efficient or active PLO organization anymore after they were thrown out from Lebanon, defeated in Lebanon. And all of a sudden, they were picked up. They started to create a Palestinian state. Why? They were gone. So this happened during the Clinton presidency, and from there, and the whole really idiotic notion that you can, first of all, they don't deserve a state. This is not a nation. To create really a viper's nest and dig it deep and feed it with billions of dollars from the United States, from the UN, from Europe, in order to bite all the time and undermine and sneak into Israel, which is an independent state, the Jewish state, was a very, vicious idea. But it happened, and Israel, I don't know why, but Israel complied, and see what happened ever since. And there were troubles ever since. And when Yasser Arafat actually, and they were crying, of course, that they were very poor, they didn't have any money. I published an article in the Wall Street Journal with details on the wealth of Yasser Arafat and the PLO. Yasser Arafat was controlling at the time, in 1993, more than $10 billion. And I listed all kinds of assets everywhere around the world. They had airlines in Nicaragua, in Africa. They had shoe factories in Poland. They had a lot of assets everywhere. They had a lot of, they committed a lot of fraud in stock exchange, in financial markets in Germany, in England, in the United States. I showed they had a lot of ransom from airlines and countries that they extorted not to attack those countries or airlines. They have been, this is a criminal organization, okay, that runs around the world claiming that they are promoting Islam. Interesting thing is also the fact that the progressive left is supporting a nation, a country, a sovereign country for Palestinians. Well, at the same time, they don't acknowledge sovereignty of the United States over its own border.
Well, it's I agree. I wholeheartedly agree. I think relative to the history of the PLO, you know, very few understand that Yasser Arafat was selected by the Soviet Union, by the Soviets, yeah. And they are the ones who created the Palestinian state, and they created the idea of the Palestinians in the same way they created the idea that there was a pope that had supported the Nazis. By the way, the same pope, and I'm not Catholic, but the same pope who in 1959 was awarded the highest award given to a non-Jewish citizen by Israel for the thousands, hundreds of thousands of Jews whose lives he saved. And 5 years later, the Soviets had convinced the world he was a Nazi sympathizer.
But he was also the pope that gave the highest award given to non-Catholic by the Vatican for then Supreme Court Justice Chaim Cohen, who I was lucky to have as a friend, as my supervisor for my PhD dissertation, who wrote the book, who proved legally, very thorough legal study, that the Jews didn't kill Jesus. The life and death of Jesus Christ. And that book, proving legally, it's a very readable book, easily read. It's not legal mumbo jumbo. That book actually, that's when the Vatican changed their teaching about what happened. Until then, it was that the Jews killed Jesus. And after this was proven legally that the Jews did not kill Jesus, that's when the teaching started to change. But of course, the old teaching caused a lot of anti-Semitism, and we are witnessing it today. And the new Pope, by the way, the Pope today, was supposed to meet with rabbis and speak last week. After the meeting with the rabbis, he met with them, but then he didn't want to speak publicly. And so he met with them behind closed doors, but then he was supposed to speak to make a public statement. And this was about anti-Semitism and what's going on with Hamas, etc. And he said, well, he really didn't feel very well. He think he will retire for the day. Okay, so that was canceled. The speech was canceled, and the rabbis left. And lo and behold, the Pope said, no, and now he's feeling better, and he went on with the schedule of the day.
But he never made the statement.
No, no. He didn't want to speak publicly in against, apparently, what is going on.
Yeah.
Against anti-Semitism and against the barbaric Hamas.
Well, and again, you know, it needs to be clearly understood, as you have been pointing out, Hamas is beyond ISIS. This is far worse than even as horrific. And ISIS did some very horrific things. But what we've seen is, by reports of those that have seen the footage, has just been seen.
I can send you the footage, and you can post it on your website, and I think the people should see it.
Please do.
I think everybody should see it, because today it's the Jews, tomorrow it will be you, it will be the Christians, it will be all the infidels.
Yep.
Their supporters are here everywhere. You see them marching on the streets, wearing these keffiyehs, and calling to kill the Jews, and from the river to the sea. And some of the biggest funders of these demonstrations are Americans like George Soros. And I have written about, I've written the Soros agenda. I recommend reading the book. It's a very interesting book that lays out the Soros agenda to the United States and against Israel and others. And he has been funding directly or indirectly anti-Israel, pro-Hamas, pro-Palestinian, even those who are linked with terrorist organizations that are designated as such by the United States. So this is something that every American should know, and this is something that I think the FBI should investigate, at least the IRS should investigate.
Well, it would be nice, except that right now we don't have an FBI that we can count on. They'd rather investigate people who are pro-life and patriots rather than to investigate those that are actually threatening the United States of America, which is very much it's just horrific. I know you need to run, Dr. Rachel. Thank you so much for being with me today. I greatly appreciate your time, and I greatly appreciate all of your insight. The Soros Agenda, and her website is acdemocracy.org. acdemocracy.org. For those of you that are watching, you can see both acdemocracy.org and the Soros Agenda listed under her name there, Dr. Rachel Ehrenfeld, Ehrenfeld. God bless you, and thank you so much for being with us today. Greatly appreciate it.
Thank you.
We're going to take our break. We'll be back with India coming up right after this brief break.